Hello, Daniel.
Hello, good afternoon or good evening.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to you. So this is Kulsum from Social Champ. Let's just wait a few minutes more so that we can gather our audience and then we can get started.
Yep, no worries.
Hi, so I think we have a couple of people here, so let's get started. So, hello, Daniel, how are you doing today?
Hello, good afternoon. Good morning, good evening, to everybody. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not too bad. It's Friday, so favorite day of the week for me. So yeah, I'm excited to be here, really. It's really good to do this, to do this space and to do a bit more of this. So yeah, thanks for having me.
Definitely, we are also happy to host you. And I have my co-host on the speaker with us, and she will be co-hosting this space with me, Neha. She just waved at you. So, yeah,
Hello.
before we move forward, can you tell our audience a bit about yourself, what you do, what industry are you in, and who exactly is Daniel Granny?
I ask myself that all the time. Yeah, I think I'm somebody who wears a lot of hats, really. I think is how I would describe myself. I'm a teacher in my day job. I had always on the side been, educated in filmmaking. That was kind of my main, degree and education. And I actually teach a filmmaking degree, but on the side I'd always done things like graphic design, web design, sort of moved around as a generalist, I suppose. And then, like a lot of people in 2020, I sort of learned to code because I had that little bit of extra time, with the lockdowns. So yeah, so then I've gone all in really on development, and I joined Twitter around the same time as I learned to code, not long after, and just started sharing my work through there. So yeah, so that's kind of who I am. So to sum it up, I'm not sure how to say it in one sentence because I do sort of a few different things. But yeah, anything to do with technology or flashing lights really is how I would describe it. I'm interested.
That sounds super great. I mean, like, it feels like you are all over the place in the technical world.
I mean, I guess it's like a strength and a weakness because I think, like a lot of people, and I find it, being a teacher that I have this conversation with students, you're never quite sure if you're supposed to be a specialist, and you've got 50% of the people saying to you, you need to specialize, you need to specialize, what do you want to do? And then you've got the other half that are saying, oh no, don't worry, it'll come to you. And I think for me, it sort of never did. And then I learned that I actually quite enjoyed the fact that I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't have one thing that I wanted to do all the time, you know. So it meant that I started to kind of think, well, if you are a generalist, are there skills, are there jobs there that are actually perfect for you when you've got quite a broad skill set? And that's kind of what I've learned through joining Tech Twitter, really. Some of the jobs, like the developer relations roles, content creation roles, you know, they're so good when you are a bit of a generalist, but in a good way, I'd hope.
That sounds lovely. So let's just deep dive into our topic of today, that is the power of self-branding. So can you tell our audience why self-branding is important in today's digital world and what are the core benefits of it?
Yeah, I think when I think about this topic, really, I'm a little bit cynical, you know, in the sense that when you think about branding yourself, it can feel kind of false and it can feel quite, I don't know, for me, it was something that I pushed against for quite a while. I didn't really want to do anything that I sort of consciously thought of as branding or self-branding because it just didn't feel natural. And then I sort of learned that actually, I think all that self-branding is trying to emphasize who you are. And it's emphasizing the strengths that you've got and the things that you know, the experiences you've had, the skills that you possess, all the things that you can bring to different roles, different projects. And I think that self-branding is actually just about trying to understand who you are as somebody and what you can offer. And then, you know, and who that might be of value to, whether that's, like I said, an employer or to just people in a network. Just by sharing your work, the amount of people that I've had that have messaged me or you know, emailed me and said they'd seen something, some short video that I put out on Twitter, just a project that I didn't think a massive amount of really at the time. And they've seen it and they've said, I can just see that you're focused, you know, not even about the project so much. They're just saying, I can see that you're focused, or I can see that you're productive, or I can see that you're creative, or whatever it is that people see from just the work you put out. So that's kind of what I think it is. I think self-branding is just about emphasizing the things that the values that you've got and putting those out there through content.
That's exactly right. And just giving me a short introduction, this is Neha, as my co-host mentioned at the start of the event. And I'm community manager at Social Champ. As you just mentioned about self-branding, I believe that self-branding is improving one's public image by showcasing one's worth. So it is very important. But moving to the question, like, how does self-branding contribute to personal growth and career advancement?
Yeah, I think that really what it's about doing is, you know, it is about accepting that in some ways you don't like to think of yourself as a product, you know, but you are in some way trying to target an audience in the same way as you would with a product. And I think that's what, you know, I know the name is self-explanatory when it says self-branding. It sort of does suggest, you know, what it is we're talking about. But I just mean that you're kind of packaging yourself up as a product in some way, and that can feel really unnatural. But if you're trying to target, you know, those employers or those people that you want to use your product, then you need to package yourself up in a way that actually targets those people. So I think this is where, you know, I said a moment ago about some of this felt a little bit false to me, you know, when I was first thinking about the idea of like self-branding as I thought it should be a natural thing. And I suppose that's, you know, what you would hope, right? That you would find a job that actually recognizes the values that you've got or the value that you've got or the skills that you've got. So I think that by self-branding and emphasizing the skills that you've got and putting those things out there, you're hopefully going to attract a job that really recognizes those things and helps to give you a job that's fulfilling, you know, because if you're a particularly good communicator, then the job that you get recognizes that and gives you value because it lets you use those skills. So I think it's not just the professional growth, it's like personal growth as well. I think that you can start to recognize what skills you've got and what strengths you've got before you have to package those things up. And I know using that phrase package things up sounds a bit strange, but I just mean it in the sense that the content that you put out says something about you, and eventually it creates an image of who you are and what you bring. So I think that it's really important that professional image that you put out represents who you are, but also hopefully would get you somewhere in your career that's going to give you those, all of those attributes are going to be recognized.
Yeah, that's a fair enough answer to that question, because the self-learning is really important, and it doesn't just specify the professional growth as well as the personal growth of a person, because if you are going to represent a company, that's not going to just show you your professional growth as per as your personal growth as well. So that the question arises where it has to be enhanced and where it can be utilized. So how can social media platform be utilized to enhance personal growth efforts?
I think it's about finding the one that suits you, really, because I know that, you know, so even some of the people in the audience, like Jax, you know, Jax will be able to tell you more about being somebody who's grown an audience on Instagram and elsewhere. And I think that you've got to find the platform that works for you. And I think that obviously depends on the kinds of content that you create. You know, you're going to find that certain content goes down better on certain platforms than it does on others. But I think that actually viewing it not as like a chore, something that you need to do, like, oh, now I need to brand myself. I don't think it should be like that. I think that some people view it like that because they see it as it's going to be very labor intensive. It's going to take a lot of time. You know, I don't know where to start. But I think actually that branding should be, some of it is about making decisions that you then don't have to make later on. And they could be design decisions. You know, you on a very simple level, you decide what your Twitter header image, you know, the banner, sorry, or what the profile photo looks like, but then you use the same styling on your website and then you use it elsewhere. And so it shouldn't be like a chore. It should be something that's quite good fun to do, because it's about presenting yourself in the right way and hopefully emphasizing the parts of your character that are good, because that's kind of what this is all about, right? You know, it's not 100% authentic. It never can be, but you'd hope that through social media you can be pretty much yourself and just enhance the things that you want people to see, which is, I think, if we're honest, that's what everybody does to some degree. So I think social media should just be something you enjoy, really. And I say that, you know, very seriously, because I think so many people, you know, complain about using Twitter and using social media and actually not enjoying it. And I think that maybe they're not branding themselves in the right way. We all know some of the really big tech accounts. If you don't know people like Jack Forge, you know, or Danny Thompson, they're doing self-branding like everybody is. It's just that they're having fun with it and they're being themselves and they're showing a bit of character. So I think that's really important. I think don't be afraid to just sort of actually be a human being and not be like a robot who's, you know, really saying the middle ground on everything, you know, but at the same time, you don't want to be that contrarian that it's just in the comments arguing with everybody. But you see what I mean. You can have an opinion, you can voice who you are on social media, and I think that should be fun rather than a chore.
Yeah, exactly, because it's just making the personal branding and yourself as a public figure is not just important, it's like utilizing and enhancing your personal branding. Because personally, I have seen people, they have a great community, they have worked on their community and their personal branding once, and they now are not working on it, they have left it for some time and they are just busy with their other things. But it's just like they have a good community, but they are not able to use it for further. They have worked it like in the past, but that's not even utilizing it now. So also it happens when the people end up using the content, if they are just working with the same thing. Like if I am doing with the SEO, I end up with the content and I feel like that I don't have anything to go further with it. So in that case, people could switch their content or they could just talk about other things to maintain their presence over the internet. So what do you think, as like yourself as a content creator, what role does content creation play in building an online presence and personal branding?
I think that for a while it took me a little while really to accept that anything like the term content creator, because for me, I was making projects, I was making websites, I was just sharing my progress with them, sharing videos mainly of what I was doing, and largely just as I was solving problems, I would create videos to sort of almost celebrate to myself, you know, oh, I've solved this problem, brilliant, I've got this feature working and it didn't work yesterday, so I'm going to share it. But you know, parallel to doing this, you know, web development work, I run a small corporate video production company. So what we'll do is make short videos, you know, largely, you know, inside of industrial settings. And it is very sort of video, you know, corporate video work. But I was sort of creating that kind of content that largely stays inside of the business that we're making it for, you know, so it's not really a public thing. And then on the other side, sharing my web development content, but not really seeing it as content. So I think over time, I just learned that you can actually consciously create content. So, you know, I started making videos related to things like Superbase, et cetera, and just, you know, again, showing a little bit more of a couple of tutorials showing how I did certain things. And I've just started to view it a little bit more as content creation because of the fact that for me personally, you know, the roles that I'm looking at develop where they're not just going to want you to communicate and do things like this, like Spaces, but also be able to create content, but also be able to code. So for me, it's just a way of putting all those things together and using it as part of a, I suppose, self-branding exercise where you're trying to get across a few things about yourself. You know, look, I'm driven, I make content. These are the things I enjoy. I like learning new things. I like sharing it with people. I like teaching. So I think that's what, for me, creating content is about. It's, if you're doing it, most people create content for free. And I think that's the thing we have to remember. Most people, I think it's amazing that we're all on the space now, and so many of us will create content and we do it entirely for free, whether we, you know, create cheat sheets and put those out, or tweets, threads, whatever, videos, YouTube, you know, all these, there's different kinds of content that goes out for free just because we love it. And I think we don't recognize that actually that says a lot about us. It says that we're driven and we're curious and we like to communicate, we like to teach. So I think it's always worth remembering that just by creating content that you enjoy, when people worry about, oh, what are people going to say when I share my content, they actually forget that it doesn't really matter what the content is like, but just by sharing it, it says something, I think, about who you are, that you've kind of faced your fear a little bit, you've bit the bullet, you've made the content and just put it out there, regardless of what you think people will say. So I know that's a really long answer, but I really do think that content creation makes a really big impact, you know, on you building your, I suppose, building your brand over time.
Thank you so much for giving a detailed answer. I know it was long, but it was very helpful, and I hope our audience gained something out of it. So moving forward, like we discussed about content creation. So yeah, once we have created our content, what do you think, what's the next step? How individuals can use SEO to rank their content or to improve their visibility and personal branding?
Yeah, you know, I think when I sort of thought about this, I don't know. I'm somebody, I suppose, who, you know, I'm not an expert. I would never say I'm an expert on SEO or even self-branding. I would never say I know everything. I would never say I've you know, done everything completely consciously and correct. But I think with SEO, it really just boils down to knowing your audience again, you know, knowing the language that people use. Really, that comes naturally, I think. If you're actually going to be able to appeal to an audience that you're trying to appeal to, you know, you need to be a member of that audience to some degree. I don't think you necessarily need to completely reflect the people that you're making content for, but I think to some degree you need to know what you're talking about, don't you? If you're making content on a particular topic, and especially if you're trying to brand yourself and in some ways make your whole identity about that topic. So I think a lot of, you know, when we think about SEO, I think a lot of that will come naturally through just, you know, using correct terminology and being in the right places. And starting to understand your audience. But like I said, I wouldn't say I'm an expert when it comes to SEO, but I think there's basics that we can all do that are just really, really simple and about putting ourselves in the right place, I suppose.
Sounds great. So how can individual monitor and manage their own online reputation? I mean, do you recommend any tools or any techniques, and how can they just make their personal branding more visible? Do you recommend PPC ads or anything that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I think it's you know, from my own perspective, I'm much more a fan of organic growth. I think that when we're looking at ads and we're looking at, you know, not necessarily artificial growth in that respect, but I think that when it's not as organic as it can be when you're networking through social media, I think that the growth can sometimes, you know, show metrics, and it might show that the growth is happening in terms of numbers, but whether it actually is in terms of the engagement that you're getting from people that you're speaking with, and whether you're actually forming a community or you're just, you know, farming numbers and just growing numbers, I think that that's something that it's not necessarily as widely monitored or as carefully monitored or tracked in the tech Twitter communities. It might be, you know, elsewhere. If you look at some of the people that will be big content creators on LinkedIn and be big content creators elsewhere, we'll track this, I think, far more carefully. I think that when we're looking at through Twitter, you know, you'll see it through just the community that starts to form around you. If you're sharing content and it's on a particular topic, then you'll start to know what your reputation is to some degree, whether, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody will know, you know, everybody else's account, but you can still build up a reputation and have a good reputation through consistency, I think, is one thing, whether it be through sharing content or putting yourself out there, getting involved in conversations. All of that contributes towards your brand. And I think that it may not necessarily be something that's managed that closely in tech Twitter, but I think it's quite easy to influence. You know, be a good person on social media and you'll tend to get a good reputation. I think that that's I know it's simplifying it, but you get where I'm coming from with that, because I think that it's really just about, if you are somebody who likes to get involved in conversations and you like speaking to people and you like communicating and you like doing things like this, like I'm doing now, then that should, you know, come naturally to you to some degree. And then when you do that, people will enjoy it, and then your reputation, you know, will be boosted as a result. So I think it's just about having good intentions and getting involved with things that go on social media. And then that will look after your reputation. But, you know, you've also got to be careful. I think you've also got to be careful looking on the flip side. I can sound really positive, but you've got to look on the other side, you know, and look at the fact that there's some pitfalls you can fall into. There's some mistakes you can make. And I think, obviously, in simple terms, going too far off brand, I think, and I'm always a bit resistant to that, because I think you should be authentic, and so you shouldn't have to think about what your brand is to some degree. But at the same time, you know, if you're 1 minute, you know, tweeting out about coding all the time, and then the next minute you're going, you know, on about a completely different, like, politics. I see several people online who will do a hefty mix of Twitter, of tech talk and coding, and then some crazy politics. And I often think to myself, you know, you're not helping yourself, because you're going so far off brand, and it can put people off, and it can actually make you not have a great reputation. So I think just be careful of what you put out there is one thing that I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And I was just coming to my next question, was about the pitfalls. Like, I'm also on and for organic marketing and avoid paid versions, but apart from our paid versions and moving from your brand, are there any common pitfalls that comes to your mind, or what can you suggest that what are the common pitfalls to avoid when we are building our online presence?
Yeah, I think that depending on the size of, you know, I suppose the account, to some degree, because I think when somebody's in a smaller account, I think that, you know, the pitfalls that people will make is, it's a shame that it comes down to like visuals, but I really do think that like the visual element is such an easy win when it comes to branding something. We've all seen really simple landing pages, even, that actually there's very little going on. I mean, I've got one on my Twitter page right now. I've got a link to one of my landing pages. It's very, very simple. There's very little there, but the design kind of carries it. It makes it, you know, makes it a lot more presentable to people that are looking at it. And I think that the common pitfalls that people make with self-branding is they have no either visual identity or online identity. And what I mean by that is, you know, they either don't get across any of the things that they're actually interested in, so we don't know anything about them beyond the content. And even things like their profile picture just being something really random and you know, just strange, and it doesn't say anything about them at all, and you think, I can't connect with that person, I can't, that they're not going to be able to sell anything to me. I see this with sometimes developers who will be hoping to take what is quite a good project and hopefully take it somewhere, you know, and share it with a larger audience, and they sort of think, oh, I'm going to do something with this, and you think, oh, it's brilliant, it's a great project, but the way they present themselves is just so disjointed. that it's difficult to it's the first thing that people see, the first impression. It's the first impression they see. So I think some of the really easy wins can just be, and I know I'm going to sound biased because, you know, I've got a color palette website, but when you've got, I sound like I'm plugging, I'm really not meaning to. I'm not trying to just plug all my websites, but I think just pick a color palette and use it for the content that you put out. Make things look like, pick the same fonts. Don't just change between, you know, five or six different fonts. So I think some of these are just really, really easy wins that once you decide on them, and you've got to accept you will get bored of your color palette and you will get bored of the font and you will want to update your portfolio, which has got both of them on every single week, but you have to stick with it. You have to go, okay, this is like almost like a band where they would bring out an album and they would have a certain look, and they would have the look would, I always think of, I'm going to show my age here, bands like My Chemical Romance, I'm really showing my age, because they did this really obvious thing, I can't even remember the name of it now, the Black Parade, where they all wore black and red. And it was like, oh yeah, this is the thing they're doing for this album, you know, suits and ties, whatever. And they look like the album artwork. And then they bring out another album out a few years later and it changes. And so that's something I think that we can all just steal from, really, is you choose your color palette, you choose your fonts, you choose the look, you choose the way that you're going to present yourself for a few years or a couple of years or even a year. And you see how it goes and then you pivot over time. And if something doesn't work, you switch to something else in terms of the look or the niche that you're trying to target. That's how I look at it anyway, is that it doesn't need to be that complicated. You can just make simple things look nice and then you can target your audience with those things. Again, a long answer, I know. I'm not very good at short answers, but yeah, there's a lot to say.
Yeah, that's great, right? Because if you see, the first impression is going to give the personal brand as well as the personal, like how the person is in itself, not just about the brand, but how the brand, the person is taking out with him, is about the person, that how the person itself is. Because obviously if I am looking for someone's profile for anything and I see a color for like a purple background and like orange picture that doesn't make any sense, and the name which is like a nickname or something, that is not going to give me a very colorful vibe. I feel like that person could speak professionally, or that person has an experience of presenting himself. So yeah, the first impression matter for a lot, because that's how you see that the person is professionally grown up or not. As you just mentioned about organic growth and like organic growth, we see two type of things, that there are some people who just and to gain followers, and there are some people who are in building community, with a positive community where they could talk and they could engage. So like the positive point which I see in your profile, that you are engaging with your community. The people knows that if they are talking to you, you are going to respond to them, and they could engage with you, they could learn from you. So that's a really good point. I really want to appreciate you on that. But as like, can you just guide the people, like, as I'm a community manager, I really want advice at how some effective way to engage and interact with the audience to strengthen my personal growth.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you for that, because I think one thing that I do sort of, not, I don't want to sound cheesy and say I pride myself on, but to some degree, you know, is that I do try and be quite authentic when I'm on my Twitter account, really. And so I think that's probably the key word, really, is authenticity. I think that it's very easy to play a character, but I don't think it's easy to play a character for very long. And I think that when you're on social media and you're sharing content, and you then start to go beyond the content a little bit, and you start to think about, well, do I want to share other elements of my life? You worry in some ways, because you think, well, I'm opening up, you know, some privacy concerns, and I'm sort of opening up maybe members of your family through images or whatever. You know, I'll share pictures of my wife on there, and there's this crossover that starts to happen. And I suppose you worry that one or two things will happen: either that, you know, people will unfollow you because they think, well, this is so off brand, this is not what I'm here for, or actually that kind of content might annoy them because they just think, well, that's not what you're supposed to post. And so I think that for me, I look at it as you'll always gain more than you'll lose. I'm not really necessarily just talking about followers there, but more so in the fact that I think you'll gain in terms of growing a community and growing people around you who are actually interested in who you are by doing that, by being authentic and showing a little bit beyond, you know, what do you do apart from coding? And I say that as you know, mainly aiming this, you know, the fact that a lot of people that will see my account are in the coding world, really. But what do you do beyond that? Because, you know, that's cool and everything. But if I meet somebody and they say, well, I do coding, and I say, well, so do I, then brilliant. We've got that out of the way. Now what? And I think that's kind of how I look at it, is I want to see a little bit more about that person. I want to see what their interests are. And if there aren't any other interests outside of coding, then, you know, show us what it is you do with it. Share the content and the things that you're making with code, and put it out there, because that's what's going to engage people, is them seeing that you're making things that you care about, and other people will care about it. Other people will support you on it. Other people will get involved. They'll give you feedback. And I think all of that leads to engagement, because people will know that you may not see it, but if you've taken time to make a website and build something, if you've taken time out of your day to do that, even if it's for yourself, even if it's for your local football club, for, you know, a shop down the road, or for a big business, whatever it is, if you've taken time out of your day to code something and build it and share it, that's value. And I think other people that are on Twitter that see so much of just people arguing, and, you know, there's so much drama on social media, actually, every time they see some content that somebody has made that's got value, they'll engage with it and they'll support it. So I think that that's a really good way to get people to engage, is show us what you're interested in and make things around what you're interested in. Put it out there. Don't be afraid of what people will say. It'll nearly always be positive. I promise. That's one thing if you're worried about sharing content, whatever it is, because you're worried about what people will say, you're missing out on the fact that there's so many good things that they'll say. So I think that's the way that I would say to boost engagement, so to speak, is share things that you care about, whether it's opinions or content, put it out there, and, you know, be a positive voice in the community, and then people will respond well to you, because they'll see that you're lifting other people up, and that you're putting content out there that gives other people value.
Yeah, that's a very big thing to say, because in today's world, we always see that people are kind of in race, that they want to run further and further and want to be on the top. And this is really a big thing that which you have been highlighted, that give appreciation to other people which have good content, because everyone is just working equally hard. And if the person is just putting out a thing which is great, that deserves appreciation. And that's really nice, because hearing this from the people who are in the industry and have been getting the credits and everything to say about it, this means that there is a chance for other people to grow as well. This is very great to see the people are still positive and they want other people to grow with them. But when we are just connecting and just building the community, there are some points where we have to see some ethical consideration, which we have to keep in mind when building an online presence and personal branding. So in your point of view, what are those some?
I think that, you know, it's a difficult one, because obviously we all know that, you know, there's copyright laws. And I think that goes without, you know, without really saying that, you know, you have to be very, very careful around making sure that the content you're sharing is your own, and that you're just doing, you know, due diligence. There's nothing wrong. You see people online sometimes lazily sharing like a meme that they'll often then credit the person underneath, which you think in today's day and age, it's almost rare that they do that, and it shouldn't be, because that is somebody's content, right? So you feel, and most of us would say, if we had made something, we would want people to credit it. I think that one of the things that comes to mind when I think about, you know, the ethical considerations, and it's going back a little bit to that building the community, or building just an audience, or just building followers, because they're all very different things. And I think that basically when you're building up, you know, when you see those accounts that have got really, really large numbers, and I'm talking really, really large numbers, you wonder how they've done it, right? You wonder what their approach was. You wonder what was it that people saw in this individual that made them all go and follow them. And I'm talking really big accounts, over 150,000 followers, etc. You know, and you think, okay, what is it? What's the value in what this person shares? And I think that, you know, most of the time, those followers are warranted. They're people that have got interesting views, interesting backgrounds. They're creating interesting work. You know, it tends to come back to that word interesting. In some way, what they're doing is offering us value and that we think we can learn from. And then you get those follow farmers. And I think that people will always see through that. I think people will always see through people who are just farming for followers and just looking for as many people to follow them as they can. And I mean, I've seen some, you know, I know there's been those threads that have gone round before. You know, there's even been certain accounts that have dedicated themselves to it, of showing how some of the larger accounts will kind of recycle content and things like this. And I've even seen, you know, some accounts that have taken fairly, you know, big open source projects and kind of repackaged them, very, very similarly named, very similar domain name. So they sort of almost are betting upon people not seeing that there's a difference between, you know, the app that they've made and the original. And then they gain a huge amount of followers through that. And there's some really underhand tactics like that. And I think for me, when I've seen those things, they really hurt somebody's reputation around, you know, who they are, being authentic and actually them being a part of the community and not working against it. You know, so I think that that's been the key thing for me, is that it's if understanding that the things you put out there, they all contribute towards your brand, your reputation, your image, you know, the way that people view you and perceive you professionally and on a personal level. All of those things are affected by the things that you share and the behaviors that, you know, you do on your account, really. So I think that's just something to be really, really conscious of from it is an ethical perspective, I suppose. I know it was the original question was, you know, what are the ethical considerations? And like I said, there's copyright, but I think more importantly, there's that. There's making sure that, you know, you're actually doing things that are going to reflect well on you and are not going to, because I would never bring up any of those, you know, those celebrities and things like this that do things wrong and then they wreck their reputation overnight. It's so easily done. So I think just being really careful about everything you do and everything you put out there will affect your reputation, your image, and how people perceive you.
Well, thank you so much. So we were moving to our final questions, but you already answered in this one. So I'll ask you that. So Mansoor is saying, what can we do effectively to build a brand for a business on social media as opposed to a difference, if any?
So I think there's a lot of similarities, you know, in the sense that, first of all, when I think people think of branding, I think so many people do this, you know, when they think of branding, they actually just think of a logo, and they think it's the same thing. If you say to somebody, if anyone's ever worked in a design perspective, and you say to somebody that you're doing a brand identity for somebody, they think it's just a logo and that it's just like an image and some text, and it's very, very simple. And I think that just like a business, the brand and the visual aspects, you know, such as the logo, are just half of it. And the other half of it is all of the values that company brings. And I mean that in two ways: the actual value that it gives you. So the product, whatever it is that you're buying from that brand, does that product actually have value? So this could be somebody sharing their progress, building a website online. You know, does the website actually have value at the end of it? If that's what they're trying to sell you, is the website, and they're doing that through just content that they've put on their social media. Does that actually have content? But also, what are their values as an does that content and that website or whatever it is they're trying to sell you, that product, does that have value? And secondarily, you know, what are their values as an individual? If they are a brand, whether it's them or the company, what are the values? Now, you see this done quite well in the videography world. As I said, half of my time is spent working in that side of things. And in the videography world, you see some really nice examples, actually. So I'll give you an example of how these things can all be very, very similar. Somebody that I know would work in natural history. They would work in outside broadcasts. So largely they were doing documentary pieces, think of like Discovery Channel type work, outside with cameras. And they could also take work as an individual, so they could work as a freelancer. Now, they actually package up two different things very similarly. So they work as part of a company which they don't own, but is very similar to the work that they do. So they do this natural history type work for their freelance job, but they also do it working for this company. Now, they branded themselves very similar to the company that they work for, which this company has done work for, you know, brands like Airbnb and Go Outdoors type things. So lots of these outside type companies, outside clothing, things like that. And the individual packaged themselves up in the same way as the company. So they package themselves up as somebody who cares about natural causes and the environment, somebody who cares about sustainability. And so that sustainability theme, let's say, comes through in a number of different ways. The clients that they then work for, so the companies that they work for, will all be around, you know, like I said, that kind of Go Outdoors or the Airbnb, where it's showing these amazing outdoors kind of environments. But they would also package themselves up as a camera operator or cinematographer who specializes in natural history and specializes in storytelling in the natural environment. So the company they work for and them as an individual have like the same values and the same image that they're trying to get across. And I think you can do the same when you're self-branding or you're branding a company, where you're trying to think about what are the values that you're trying to get across to people. How would you think about yourself beyond just the logo? That should give people some kind of hint as to what industry you work in. Really, that's often all a logo will do. Is this a tech company? Is this a tech individual? Is this a whatever? It just tells people what industry you work in. The brand is actually beyond that. What do you stand for? What are your causes? If it is creativity, are you somebody who's more of an artist, or are you somebody who's more technical and you're more of a programmer and you're logical? You know, what are the elements of your character you're trying to portray and emphasize? And there are things that you can do, as I said, starting with your logo, but they need to go beyond that. They need to go beyond that to encapsulate things like your profile online and who you are and how you speak. So that's what I would say anyway. I know it's, again, a long-winded answer, and I'm trying to give you as much information as I can, but I think a business and an individual are not that different when it comes down to it. It's just about the visual side and then the values to go with it.
Well, that was a pretty long answer, but it was very well crafted, and I believe our audience gained valuable insights from it. So thank you so much for giving that answer to our audience. So the questions from my end are over, and we are opening the floor for our audience. If they have any questions, they can either react, or they can request to speak, or they can drop in the comments. So we'll wait for a couple of minutes to see if there are any questions rolling in.
No problems.
So is there any question from Daniel Kearney, you guys, if you want to ask something specifically, directly related to digital marketing, branding, content creation, anything? He's the guy. So let us know if we have any questions. There is one request. So there's a request. I am just adding him, and let's see what he's going to ask. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Daniel. And my question is, like, how to stand out in crowd, we get shortlisted for interviews. What steps do we need to follow? And any tips for me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to jump in there. Thanks for the question. I think that to stand out, really, it is a little bit like, and I know this is going to sound like a strange analogy, but before I got into any of this, I was in a band years and years and years and years and years and years and years ago. But there was something that bands that would stand out immediately would do, and then there was something that bands that would never stand out, you know, and they were the ones that wouldn't do this thing. And what it was, a lot of it was about making sure that they'd package things up in the right way. Now, what I mean by that is, you would have bands who would start sharing their music online, but they didn't really have any kind of promotional photos. They didn't really have any album artwork, or they didn't have any single artwork, or the songs weren't on iTunes, or the songs weren't on Spotify, or the songs weren't wherever. And they had all the issues were largely that they hadn't actually prepared properly before they'd started trying to grow, I suppose. And the bands that would do quite well and the artists that would do quite well would be the ones who would think about all of that before they really took, you know, growing seriously. So it's almost about making sure that, you know, all of your profiles or all of the different places that you're going to try and grow or share content or network or connect, just that you've got them in order. So going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, consistent branding across different platforms. And, you know, sometimes that can be a bit of a job in itself. You feel like every time you make a change, you have to go across and I've got to log into Twitter and what's my LinkedIn page doing? And, oh, have I updated my portfolio? Do they all look the same? But I think it does pay off because it's just one way of starting to show something that people will then hopefully start to recognize a little bit. They might see it around, or, you know, there'll be some recognition factor there in the fact that they're seeing the consistent image that you're putting out. So that's what I would say to stand out. It's just about, you know, don't look like one of those bands who's done no planning and is just hoping that their music is going to be the thing that makes them successful. In the same way as you can put out some good content, but if there's no actual brand behind it, or if there's no coherent image behind it, then it's just a random account sharing some random content, like a random band creating random songs and just putting them out there. So that's how I see it anyway. Just try and get your things together and things in order before you start sort of taking it seriously or trying to grow your account or trying to make connections. Just make sure you've got a coherent image.
Thank you so much, Daniel, for answering the question. So are there any more speakers who would like to ask a question? Just wave or just give me any reaction and I'll give you the floor. So I believe there are no more questions. So I would like to thank Daniel for your valuable time and insights. I hope you had fun as much as we did for your valuable time again. So thank you so much, Daniel. Have a great day ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. I hope that everyone who's listening, you know, got something helpful from that. And yeah, feel free to follow me on here. I'm also on the other app that we're not allowed to name. I don't even know if I can name it on a space without getting in trouble, to be honest. But the other app, we all know which one that is. So yeah, I'll probably see some of you on there. But again, thanks very much for listening. Thanks for having me. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day or evening, morning, whatever it is now. I'm not sure, everyone's on different time zones. But thanks again for coming.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. And thank you everyone for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.